Well, it's good to see everybody here this morning. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Boy, I've been waiting to just preach this passage of scripture for a while now. Woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, just excited to preach this one passage of scripture. Amen? And I did go back to sleep for about a half an hour, but I woke up and just excited about this passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. It's a church that years before, Paul had come to this city. He had been led there by the Lord in Acts chapter 16. The Lord had given him a vision of a man from Macedonia in the night who called out and said, come over and help us. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 9, which very personal verse and passage of scripture to me as a pastor, because Acts chapter 16 and verse 9 says, come over and help us. There's 169 cities and towns in the state of Connecticut. 169. And I wonder how many of those towns and cities there's people crying out, come over and help us. And Paul endeavored to go over there, and he did, and he came to a riverside, and there was a lady named Lydia and a group of ladies, and they were Jewish ladies, and they were down by the riverside, and they were praying. And he opened up the Word of God and preached to them and told them about Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. And they understood and believed and trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It was just a short while, and Paul was thrown into jail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's in jail, Paul and Silas are in jail, and I'm glad to see Paul and Silas here this morning. They're not in jail. But midnight, they're rejoicing and singing. And Silas, I think you ought to get up in the middle of the night and just stand outside your dad's door and just sing out loud. Amen? And encourage him. And they're singing and praising the Lord. And a jailer gets saved. And pretty soon a church is started. Now the years have gone by and the church has grown and it's established and they have pastors and deacons. And Paul is writing back to this church. He loves this church. He loves these people, and he's writing back. He's in prison, and we've read and studied Philippians chapter 1 down through chapter 3 so far. And Paul has encouraged them in the faith. He wants them to grow in the Lord. He tells them that he's confident that God is working in their lives and will continue to work. And he encourages them to continue going on with the gospel of Jesus Christ and reaching out to the lost and telling them about Jesus Christ. And he says, don't be alarmed by my situation. He says, I'm still rejoicing in the Lord. He says, I'm in prison, but the gospel is being preached. And he says, therein I rejoice. And he says, there's going to be all sorts of challenges in life. There always are. He says, but we can continue to just joy and continue on in the Lord. And then he comes down to Philippians chapter 3 in the last part, part of chapter 3, and he says, but listen, he says in verse 20, I could just hear Paul saying, but guys, listen. He says, our conversation's in heaven. We're just strangers. We're just pilgrims in this world, right? Amen. This is not our home. Our home's in glory. He says, our conversation's in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So Paul takes them from a place where they're understanding the reality of life and the challenges of life, and still they're rejoicing in the Lord, and they're still going on for the Lord, still laboring for the Lord. And he brings their attention back to just the confidence they have. This is the victory that overcometh the world, John writes in 1 John chapter 4. Even our faith. And he says, listen, our salvation is secure. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a home in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming at any moment to take us home to be with him. And then he writes in chapter 4 and verse number 1, he says, therefore, because our conversation is in heaven, because we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to change our vile bodies and fashion them alike unto his glorious body. Therefore, look what he says, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray this morning, Lord, I ask you right now that your Holy Spirit would just take your precious words, Lord, that Paul, through your Holy Spirit, wrote to this church, just as we are a church, just as we are a church family. And that you would take your words and encourage our hearts this morning, strengthen our faith and challenge us in the things that you would have us to know this morning. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So Paul is writing. He's writing a letter. Now, Paul would rather be there. He says, I long to be there. He says, I would rather be with you in person, but situation forbids it. And he says, the Lord knows, and I'm in prison. I'm stuck. I can't get there. He says, I want to be there. He says, so I'm writing a letter. And he comes to chapter 4 and he says, therefore, he's winding up this letter. He's taught them, he's encouraged them, he's challenging them. And now he's finishing up the letter. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. And this morning we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. But what's interesting, verses 1 through 7, by the way, here are the 3 points, so we can get those out of the way so I can just preach. All right, but here's the 3 points. 3 times in these 7 verses, Paul says something so important. He says, in the Lord. Point number 1, he says, stand fast in the Lord. Point number 2, be of the same mind in the Lord. Point number 3, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 3 times in just 7 verses. Paul is driving something home. He's encouraging him. He says, it's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, as I read Philippians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 7, it's so exciting because I think, and this is just my opinion, but I think it's one of the most powerful, the most positive, the most personal, and the most practical, and the most promising passage of Scripture for the local church family. I mean that sincerely. Man, it captivates everything. In 7 verses, there's so much here. And right there you're saying, Pastor, how long are we going to be? Well, as long as we need to be. But it's powerful, folks. I've read these verses, and you know, verses 1 through 7, boy, I tell you what, for every Christian, but for the church body, for the family of God, for the local church that's gathered here this morning at Lakes Pond, it's not only for us as individuals, but it's for us as a church. And it covers everything. But it's broken down into 3 simple things. The first one is stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. The second one is be of the same mind in the Lord. And the third one is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Always rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And in those 3 truths, in those 3 admonitions of Paul, there is so much, not only in wisdom, but in practical application. But I want you to notice something, because as we look, first of all, at verse 1, Paul writes, and as he writes this letter, I want you to see something so important. Because Paul could have just said, therefore, stand fast in the Lord. He could have just said, therefore, stand fast in the Lord. But I want you to notice the context of verse number one. And it's about his relationship with the church. And it's about our relationship with one another in this church family, in the body of Christ. For you know, it's like this. And by the way, this is interesting. In the overwhelming majority of Paul's letters that he writes, he begins by stating that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He begins by just reminding them of his position as an apostle. But now the times are changing, the church is growing, and the apostles, you know, they just can't be everywhere at once. And so the church is growing, and they're ordaining pastors and deacons. And yet, as Paul writes to the book of Philippians, he doesn't address them as, I'm the apostle and you're the church. And he doesn't address them by reminding them of his position. If you go back to chapter 1, look what it says in chapter 1. He brings it all down to the same level. That yes, there's pastors and there's bishops and there's deacons. And yes, there at that time there were apostles like Paul and Peter and John. He says, but you know, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with one another, we're all on the same level. We're all on the same level. Listen, folks, just because God has called me to the position of being your pastor does not give me any special benefits more than you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You understand that, I hope. You can pray just like I can pray. Amen? And God will answer your prayers just like He answers mine. Right? From the youngest to the oldest. Right? Because we're all sinners saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And in Philippians chapter 1, notice what Paul writes. Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ. And then I love verse number 1 of chapter 1. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. You know, someone might say, hey, Paul, you need to go back to speech class. You need to go back and learn rule number 1 of speech class. Know your audience. Paul, what are you doing? You put the saints, the people within the church, you've addressed them before the pastor and before the deacons. Paul, shouldn't you have said, I write this letter to the pastor of the church at Philippi and to the deacons and to all the members. Paul says, no. He says, because we're all in this together. But it gets better than that. Because look at chapter 3. And you know, or chapter 4. Because I can imagine, if Paul wasn't writing this letter, if Paul had been invited back to the church and had stopped by and was speaking to the church, maybe they would have a platform like this. I mean, it's nice to have a platform and everything else. But I think in chapter 4, Paul would have left the platform and he would have come right down to the same levels of people. Because look what he says in chapter 4 and verse number 1. You know, it's a different view from up there than it is from down here. Look what Paul says in chapter 4 and verse. Look how much he stresses the relationship between Paul and everyone in the church. Everyone in the church, without exception, from the youngest to the oldest, from the earliest to the latest, doesn't matter who they are. Paul says this, look in chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren. You see, there's the connection, folks. There's the connection. Our connection is Jesus Christ. Right? Three times he says in the Lord. Our connection here this morning is Jesus Christ. He's the one that has brought us together. He's the one that has us together here this morning. It's not your politics. It's not your sports team. It's not anything else. It's Jesus Christ. And he says, we're brethren in Jesus Christ. We're all sons of God. We all belong to Jesus Christ if we've trusted in Jesus Christ. But he goes further than that. He says, not only are we brethren, but listen, look what it says. Dearly beloved. Think about that. And I can see Paul. I can see Paul just looking at each one as I look this morning. We're not just brethren. Folks, we are dearly beloved. Oh, when someone gets saved and they're part of a local church, that church becomes beloved. You know, John wrote in 1 John, and he says, one of the evidences of a person really being saved is their love for the brethren. Is their love for the brethren. Because you know what a testimony? Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And you know why that's so powerful? You know what's why it's so powerful? When the world and people around us and one another, we see how much we love each other and how much we do love each other. Because, oh, we are so different one another, aren't we? Right? We are so different one another. Right? I mean, come on. We are unique. Not only unique, we're strange. Right? But Paul says, my brethren, dearly beloved. And then he says this, longed for, longed for. You know, we should have such a love for one another in the body of Christ, in the local church, that we should really just want to be with one another. This is what should drive us to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school class, and other times, is because God has brought us together through Jesus Christ. And we've been in the world all week. And now we have an opportunity to gather together with the saints of God that are close to us, that are near to us, that we love. And he says, my brethren, dearly beloved, longed for. Paul says, oh, I wish that I could be there. Oh, that I wish that I'd be there. I don't know about you, but every time I go away, oh, it's good for the first couple of days. But then I can't wait to get home to Lakes Palm Baptist Church. I'm going to Peru in August. I'm going to preach at that youth camp. And I know what's going to happen. I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to have great fellowship. And then all of a sudden, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to miss you guys. And all of a sudden, there's going to be a longing in my heart to get home to Lakes Palm Baptist Church. That's what Paul was saying. Paul says, man, my heart, I love this church. I love you people. He says, I long for you. And he says, you're my joy. You're my joy. I don't know about you, but don't you love being around each other? Don't you enjoy being around? Man, it's just good to fellowship one with another, isn't it? It's just good to see one another. Listen, next Saturday morning, we're going on. Hey, I'm going hiking. I'm climbing Mount Holyoke next week. And you know what? I'm excited about it. And not for climbing. I'm excited about being with some of the young people. I'm excited about being able to climb that mountain quicker and faster than Derek. Right, Danny? That's our goal, Danny. Climb faster than Derek, right? No, it's exciting. I'm excited about going to Boston tomorrow. I spent all day Friday with Wilson. What a fellowship we had. What a joy we had. And you know what? We just enjoyed each other's company the whole day. And Paul says, my joy and my crown. And you know what Paul was also excited about? He was excited that God had allowed him the privilege of being a part of someone else's life, these people's lives. And not only seeing them saved, but seeing them grow and encouraging in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what he says. So he says, you're my dearly beloved. I long for you. He says, we're brethren, dearly beloved. He says, our joy, our crown of rejoicing. And he says, listen, he says, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Remain firm in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. You know, I want to give you three things this morning under this first point about standing fast in the Lord. Now, I'm not going back up there. I'm down here with you guys today. But stand fast in the Lord. You know, old-time Baptist preachers used to would just say something. And it has to do with this standing fast. They would say, listen, we're still preaching three things. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Amen? Hey, listen. We haven't changed. We even changed. The world has changed. Christianity is changing. And you know what? We're going to stand fast. We're going to still keep preaching the book, right? We're going to still keep believing the Bible, right? I mean, just take time and read Psalm 119 someday, right? Just take a whole week or a whole month and just go in Psalm 119. I knew a lady one time that had memorized all of Psalm 119. Wow. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. You go over to the gospel, you go over to Matthew and Mark and Luke, and Jesus is up there he's being tempted by the devil. And in Matthew and Mark, and then in the gospel of Luke, three times, Jesus says this. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, folks, listen. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he says, yeah, the times are going to get difficult. Oh, the world is going in a wrong direction. He says, Timothy, he says, you just preach the word. Preach the word. Every time I get a text message from Brother Schwanke here, when we're talking on the phone, and every time we're talking, he says, brother, just keep preaching the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Hey, listen, folks. If we're going to stand firm, if you're going to stand fast in the Word of God. Stand fast in the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. Teach it to your young people. Share it one another. Encourage one another. But stand fast in the book. And by the way, when we say the book, we mean the Bible. Because there ain't no other book, right? So number one. But second of all, the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? The blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. If you go there for a moment, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And verse number... Well, I'm going to start at verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Get that? By his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Wow. Look at verse 23 or verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness. In fact, if you go back to the book of Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, as Paul takes time to just teach and explain the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek. But in Romans chapter 3, you come down and in verse number 23. Well, verse 22. Well, verse number 10. Well, we could go back to Romans 1 if we wanted to. But verse number 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. None. You look at verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, and that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world, and all the world, may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Because Paul writes to the church here at Colossae. And in Colossians chapter 1, he's giving thanks. He's thankful. You know what he's thankful for? He's thankful for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no salvation. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And Paul says the blood of Jesus Christ, how precious it is, how powerful it is. And so we stand fast in the Lord. Listen, stand fast in the Word of God. Stand fast in the Bible. Stand fast in the blood of Jesus Christ and the salvation that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. For Peter wrote in Acts chapter, well, he didn't write in Acts chapter 4, but he preached in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, and he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But then Paul, he writes in Philippians chapter 3, and he reminds of something else. The blessed hope. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, if you go there for a moment. Titus chapter 2. Look what it says. First one to get there wins. Titus chapter 2. And verse number 11. Look what it said. The blessed hope. The blessed hope. Man, I love that phrase. Right? The blessed hope. That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's Jesus Christ coming again for you and me. And it could be at any moment. He says, we're looking for the Lord to come. We're longing for His appearing. We're loving His appearing. And it says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then it says this, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy, my crown. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Know that you're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Just keep yourself in the love of God, looking for eternal life. Stand fast in the Word of God. It never changes. It's the same. And keep looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Keep your eyes looking up, looking through those clouds and saying, maybe today. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Keep listening for that trumpet and that shout. Keep looking for the Lord to come. Paul says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, my long for, my joy, my crown, my beloved brethren, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. That's where we stand, folks, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm glad for one thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. We stand fast in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to keep holding up the Bible as the Word of God. We're going to keep preaching the book. We're going to keep preaching the blood. And we're going to keep preaching the blessed hope. Amen? And so he says, stand fast. But you know, then he says something. And this is why it's so interesting. Philippians chapter 4. Can you imagine you're sitting in this church? You're sitting in this church. Can you imagine you're part of the church at Philippi? Okay, now ladies, this is just for you.
This is by scripture. This is you. All right? See, so you're the ladies. Okay, everybody that's... No, we won't have you raise your hand. Okay? But you're a lady. And so... Got a letter from Paul. So notice goes out to all the church. Hey, come on out. Don't miss Wednesday night. Don't miss Wednesday night. Paul wrote us a letter. Wednesday night, we're going to read a missionary letter written just to us. Just to us. All right? We read missionary letters on Wednesday night. But those missionary letters are sent out to a lot of churches. However many supporting churches there are, they send it the same letter to every church. And all of a sudden they say, but this is different. This is Paul. Paul's in prison in Rome. And Paul loves you guys. And Paul wants you, he wants to tell you something. And Paul's writing a letter. And so you get through chapter 1. You get through chapter 2. You get through chapter 3. Man, we're looking up and he says, therefore, my brethren dearly beloved, my longed for, my joy, my crown, stand fast in the Lord, right? My dearly beloved. And then, all of a sudden, your name is mentioned. You imagine this? All of a sudden, your name, Mrs. So-and-so, is mentioned. All of a sudden, your name is mentioned in public before everybody else. You know why Paul could get away with that? Because he loved them. Listen, in verse number 2, the reason why Paul could say that, the reason why a pastor can get up and preach, the reason why he can say things and Paul can say things that convict our souls and become very personal is because Paul cared more for these two ladies than he did himself. Because Paul had a love for this church. It was more to him than his own life, than his own self. And he cared for these two ladies. He cared enough for these two ladies that amidst this letter, he says, listen, Eudeus and Syntek, I beseech you. He could have said, I command you by my position as an apostle, by the authority of the Word of God. He says, no, I implore you. I beg of you. I plead with you. Probably these two ladies were on either side of the church as far as they could get away from each other, right? Probably the only thing that kept them inside was the walls. You imagine? You imagine all of a sudden your name's mentioned? Who did he say? Am I the only, you know, it's not Jane or Mary. I mean, we got some unique names here. I don't think there were 3, 4, 5, 6 people that were named Eudeus or Syntek, right? What mom would do that, by the way? Anyways, right? And he says, I beseech you. I beseech you. Look what he says. Be of the same mind in the Lord. You know what I love about this? Paul didn't waste one bit of ink going into what their problem was, what their difference of opinion was, who was right and who was wrong. He says, I'm not going to waste time with that. He says, I'm going to give you the solution. I'm going to give you the fix. I'm going to give you the answer. Listen, you got a difference of opinion with someone? You got a problem with someone? Paul says this. He says, here we go. He says, here's what you need to do. You need to get the same mind. And it's, you're not, I was going to point to Erica. All right, well, let's just, okay. Erica and Allison. All right? I can get away with this. All right? I probably can't get away with it. I am really in big trouble right now. Okay? And he said, listen. Let me give the answer. Be of the same mind. And it's not your mind. Hi, hon. And it's not your mind. Right? Wow, I'm going to McDonald's for lunch. It's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. Because you know what? That fixes everything. That solves everything. And what he's reminding them is Philippians chapter 2. What he's reminding them, he says, listen, get together with that other person. Get together with that other lady. He says, I implore you, I beg you, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the church, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of everything that means everything to your God and your Savior. Get on the same page. And he says, the way you do that, it's Philippians chapter 2. Oh, look at Philippians chapter 2. What does it say? If there be any consolation in Christ, start right there. Start right there because it's in the Lord. If there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies fulfilling my joy, that ye be like-minded, like-minded. What does that mean? We have to have the same opinion? No. He says you have to have the mind of Christ. And here it is. Here it is. You be like-minded, having the same love. Having the same love. What love is that? That's the love of Christ. That's the love of Christ. And as Paul would write in Galatians chapter 2, he loved me. And what did he do? He gave himself for me. You see, usually when we got a problem with someone else, you know, one of the first major causes of a problem with someone else is, I love me more than I love you. And when I love me more than I love you, then I'm more important than you. My opinion's more important than you. My cause is more important than yours. Everything about me is way more important than you. But when I love Christ, and when the love of Christ is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, and when the love of Christ constrains me, you know what? It's not about me loving me. It's about me loving Him. And that love transcending in loving you more than me. In the gospel, it's about loving the world more than yourself. And he says, be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And he says, here's how it works. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Listen, I know I'm going back over this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And you know what that's speaking about? Let nothing be done for you. But look what it says. But in lowliness of mind, in lowliness of mind, esteem other better than themselves. Esteem other better than themselves. And he says, you love one another with a love that thinks of the other person more than you think of yourself. Whoa, Pastor. Hey, listen. What are we going to keep preaching? The book, right? That's God saying. Esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. Boy, that's so tempting, isn't it? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He says, just think about the other person. Just think about the other person. Just think about them. And let this mind be in which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul says to these two ladies, he says, please, please. He says, I love you so much. I'm willing, with a heart of love, with a broken heart, to call you out and say, listen, ladies, get on the same page in the Lord. Have the same mind in the Lord. And you know, he brings it to something else. He brings it to our purpose. Here's why we need to be on the same mind. Look what it says in verse number, chapter 4, and verse number 3. By the way, I should have a Fitbit bracelet on this morning. I'm getting a lot of steps in this morning. Just getting ready for that mountain hike. But anyways, look what he says. He says, I beseech you, Eudes, and beseech Syntek, that they be the same-minded Lord. And then he speaks to the rest of the church family. He speaks to the rest of them. He says, hey, listen, not only those two. Yeah, it's obvious those two have a difference of opinion. And it's obvious. He says, it was brought to my attention. He says, they need to be of the same mind of the Lord. But listen, we're all in this together, right? Look what he says. And I beseech you, or I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. And here he says, hey, listen, we're all working together, right? We're all in this together. He says, we're joined up together with a purpose. And what is that purpose? That purpose, he says in chapter 4 and verse 3, help those women which were labored me in the gospel with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers. Listen, folks, the reason why we need to have such a love for one another, the reason why we need to be one with another, the reason why we need to be in unity, the reason why we need to just be of the same mind is because there's a world out there that needs Jesus Christ. Listen, I spent all day the other day with Sam Wilson. I left here at 8, got back about 7 o'clock. Man, what a time we had. What a fellowship we had. All around the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were going to scope out Boston. I tell you what. Boy, I tell you what, if I didn't have so much to do here, I'd go to Boston every day of the week. Never seen, and I don't mean Boston Common. We were in a section of Boston, and an area where 30% of the people are Jewish, but we were in a section. We were just having the time of our life. We're in a section where you could just stand there all day and talk to people, and not stop. And there's people, folks. There's people that want Christ. I went into a CVS up there. And by the way, where we're going tomorrow is not a good church. Within about a half an hour. In Boston, there's people that are taking a subway from one side of Boston all the way to the other side of the Boston. Getting off the subway, getting on a bus, getting off the bus and walking to church. I walked into a CVS and there was a guy there, Isaiah. Isaiah is his name. And I walked up and I started talking to Isaiah. Isaiah, listen, I'm not even from here. I'm from Connecticut. I'm just in town for the day. But I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. Guy stops working. He says, listen, he says, I was raised in a Christian church. I want my mother to a Christian church. I need to get back to church. I said, Isaiah, would you be willing to give me your phone number, your cell phone number? I'll help you out. I said, I'll help you find a church in there. I'll help your mom and you get a good church and find a good church where you go. He says, you'd do that? And I says, I sure would. He says, here, let me give you my cell phone number. That's what it's all about, folks. And he says, we're yoke fellows. We're joined up together with the same cause. And the same cause is that we gather together to be encouraged, to be edified. Why? So that as a church,
whether it's together in group projects or one or two going out by ourselves. We go out into this world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that needs Jesus Christ. He says, that's our purpose. And he says, I entreat thee also, help those women which labor, help one another. Help, encourage one another. Pray one for another. Help one another with other my fellow laborers. But then he says this in verse number 3. He brings it all back to this. Whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are in the book of life. You know, back in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus sends the disciples out. And he tells them to go out and preach the gospel. And he gives them power. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ said, that we have power, the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, your faith would stand in the wisdom and the power of God. And the disciples come back, and they're all excited. They're all excited about the evidence of the power of God in their life as they preach the gospel. And you know what Jesus said to them? He says, don't rejoice in that. He says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And Paul writes to this church, and he says, my fellow laborers, whose names are written in the book of life. Wow. You know, that reminds me of that song. There's a new name written down in glory. And guess what? It's, what did you say? No, it's mine. No, it's mine. It's mine. See, I got you. All right, and it's yours. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. And it's mine. And the white-robed angels tell the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, but that leads to the next thing Paul says. First of all, he says, stand fast in the Lord. Second of all, he says, be of the same mind in the Lord. And you know, I tell you what, one of the best things that helps people in the church get in the same mind and on the same page is going with the gospel. Going with the gospel. Going with the gospel. Because you know what? It's all about the people you're trying to reach. And it's not about you. It's all. Listen, Sam and I, we're up there. We're driving around, and I'm driving around. We're chatting. We're having so good fellowship, personal fellowship. I mean, we're talking about everything from, we're talking about everything from diets to exercise to sports. I mean, just family, everything. And we're just working together and figuring out what we're doing tomorrow. And we had difference of opinions, but you know what? It didn't matter because we got one purpose, reaching the gospel world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We had a church gospel barbecue up in Willimantic the other night, and I announced it last Sunday at church, and I had my plans all set. We were going in this one neighborhood. We have five families now that are coming from one neighborhood. Five families from one neighborhood. One neighborhood. The first neighborhood we went into and prayed about up there, Cameo Drive, Hispanic neighborhood. So we have five whole households in this one neighborhood of about 180 homes or apartments. And so we've been up there before. We've done this before. And so I had it all planned out. We had the grill and hot dogs and everything else. So I went up there and I pulled into where I thought we were going to have the cookout, and there were some ladies in the church that had already got things set up at a different location, one of the ladies' backyards and everything. So I'm driving around, I'm scratching my head. You know what my first thought? Well, this isn't where I planned it to be. And then I said, who cares? Who cares? We're here to get the gospel out, right? And then we're setting up, and they had a different approach of how they were doing it. And I said to myself, who cares? We're here to get the gospel out, right?
I was going to share the gospel, and then I had another man share the gospel. Who cares? Right? We're there to get the gospel. And you know what the result was? I got to meet family members of these folks and kids in the neighborhood. And what a joy it was. But you know what? I had to first say, you know what? The details of your plans, Pastor Meter, don't matter. The purpose is to show the love of Christ to these people and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church was gathered together to do that. And Paul says, listen. Get in the same mind, the mind of Christ, so that together we can be effective in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, my fellow laborers, whose name's written in the book of life. And then he comes down to one more. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now remember this, he's writing to the church as a group. He's writing to the body of believers that gathered together at Philippi. He's writing to them as a family, as a group, individuals within the group. But as a group, he's writing to them corporately. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen? Rejoice because we're saved. Amen? Right? Rejoice because the Lord is coming again. Rejoice because we're secure in Christ. Rejoice because my life is in His hands. But then he says this, let your moderation be known unto all. Let your evenness, your calmness, your gentleness. He says, let your example, let your standing fast in the Lord show forth in your life. Let your mind in the Lord show forth. Let your rejoicing in the Lord show forth. Oh, that other people would see the peace of God, the gentleness of Christ, the graciousness of Christ, the kindness of Christ in your testimony, in your life. That they would see Christ. They would see Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, and don't forget, he says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He says, you know what? It's this close. The Lord Jesus Christ could come at any moment. Any moment. Norman, the Lord could come today. Amen? I'm waiting. I'm looking. Amen? Right? Because you know what? I'm going. Amen? He says, the Lord is at hand. And then he says this, as a church, to the church, he says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. You know, there's so many things that are involved in a church. Have you ever stopped and consider? I don't even want to take time this morning. The enormity, the magnitude of everything that's involved in a local church. Everything from people to property to finance. I mean, just, there's so much involved, right? There's so many things that could cause us to be anxious or worried or concerned, right? Paul says, hey, listen, be careful of nothing. He says, you know what he's saying? And I love it. He's saying, don't fret. Psalm 37, fret not, right? Fret not, right? He said, don't worry. Why? Well, what has he said in three words, three times? In the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, right? In the Lord, stand fast in the Lord, right? Stand fast in the Lord. Listen, keep doing what you're doing, right? Just keep doing what you're doing. Pastor Meter, keep doing what you're doing. And folks, these things in this passage are the principles of my life. So many things come up, and I keep reminding myself, Douglas, just keep doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. Just keep doing it. Keep preaching the word, keep preaching the blood, and keep looking for the blessed hope. Keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just go out and reach some more and win some more for Christ. Keep working with the mind of Christ, helping one another, working with one another, and keep rejoicing in the Lord. Because you know what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And he says, instead of getting all worried about everything, he says, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. I prayed for something very specific a few weeks ago. Had to do with a situation in another church. And I prayed very specifically for something to happen. Didn't tell anybody. I just prayed and I said, Lord, you have got to do this. Please do this. Please. Guess what? Just the other day, someone came to, unbeknownst of the fact that I had prayed, and said, by the way, this happened. And I just stood there and I said, wow. God still answers prayer. God still answers prayer. God did something that only God could do. And I'll tell you why. Because God cares about His church. Because God cares about His church. And He says, instead of getting all worked up and fret and everything else, get on your knees. Get on your knees. What did the Lord say? Casting all your care upon Him. Because He cares for you. He careth for you. But in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And guess what? He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Notice what He says there. Your hearts. He's speaking to the church. It'll keep your heart, church. It'll keep your hearts and your minds through who? Through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. And so Paul writes to the church, he says, and he writes and he says, these folks are so precious. Listen, guys, you are so precious. And we ought to be precious one to another, amen? I don't know if Paul would have done that. But we ought to be precious one to another, right? We ought to love one another. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to encourage one another. We ought to help one another. We ought to labor together more and more and more and more and more. More and more and more and more and more and more. Right? And he says, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Let the Lord bring your thoughts together. In Him. And He says, rejoice in the Lord ever. Rejoice in the Lord always. And He says, and God will keep you. God will keep you. His peace that passeth all understanding, it'll keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, I pray Your word has stirred our souls this morning to love Thee more, to love one another more. Lord, just help us to take these three truths to heart, Lord. To stand fast in the Lord. To be of one mind in the Lord, of the same mind in the Lord. And to rejoice in the Lord always. Lord, we just pray. And oh, Lord, we thank You, we praise You, and we give You all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.